Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to share with you something the Holy Spirit revealed to me. I want you to know that God owns everything. In Psalms 24, verse 1, the Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness of it, the world and those who dwell in it." He's using the earth and the world. The earth includes everything, the waters, the land, the sea, the rivers, the mountains, everything, the trees and everything. And the world, the people, the mindset, everything belongs to God. God owns everything, including you and me. We all belong to God. Tell your neighbor you belong to God. So we all belong to God. And therefore, because we belong to God, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 26. But if you start with verse 25, the Bible says, "Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions. For conscience sake," verse 26, "for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness." The earth is the Lord's and all things in the earth belong to God. So if you wanted to ask yourself a question and say, what does not belong to the Lord? What would be your answer? What is not in the hand of God? What does God not own? What is outside his power and authority? Nothing. Everything belongs to God. And I think that is good information to have. That even when you are praying or praising or worshiping or living life, you know that everything belongs to God. Nothing is outside the hand and the power of God. Everything is within the jurisdiction of God. Nothing escapes God. The Bible says in God we live, we move, and we have our being. We live in God because we are of God. We move in God because we are of God. Everything we have is of God, and everything that we see is of God. Everything we hear about is of God. Everything we touch is of God. Everything belongs to God. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, everything belongs to God. Everything. Now that tells you that if you ever need anything, where is it? If you ever desired anything, where is it? If you ever called for anything, where is it? If there is something you don't have a hand to, who owns it? So everything belongs to God. In the book of Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 8, God takes you to the next level. He says, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord." So what don't you have? What can't you have? What can't you have access to? Because if you are of God, and the God that you are of owns everything, so what don't you have? And what can't you have? Nothing. Because everything belongs to what? To God. And so when you open your mouth to pray, when you open your heart and your spirit to cry out to God, you should have that understanding that I deal with a God who owns everything. If you need land, who owns land? Gold, silver, mountains, beaches, everything belongs to God. And because everything belongs to God and you are of God, and there is nothing you cannot have because God is your papa. God is your father. And because he's your father, he has everything. So we must have everything because God has everything. And I think that should give you confidence that when you're talking to God, you're not talking to a pauper. You're talking to one who owns. Whatever they calculate, they say the gold in Congo are equal to about $12 trillion just in Congo alone. the minerals in Congo are $12 trillion. That means the wealth in the ground in Congo alone is more in value than the purchasing power of the United States of America, whose purchasing power is $11 trillion. So actually, in essence, Congo is richer than America. And that gold in Congo belongs to your God. You know, he said in Haggai, in chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, he says, I'm going to shake. He said, I'm going to shake. I'm going to shake so that it can come to you. The oil reserves that are already found in Uganda can carry us for the next 30 years. The next 30 years, we have enough oil in the Bujoro oil belt that if we sell it, Uganda can live on that oil for the next 30 years. And that oil belongs to God. Amen. That oil belongs to who? Amen. Not counting the gold in Mubende and Busia and Karamoja. Not counting the other minerals. Uganda alone has one of the best soils that if we plant food, we can feed the whole of Africa. I think Africa now has about 1 billion people. But there is enough fertility in the land in Uganda that if we grow foodstuff, we can feed 1 billion people on the continent of Africa. No problem. And all that belongs to God. So even the rich soil belongs to God. The Nile River, which flows through Lake Victoria up to the Mediterranean Sea, feeds Uganda, South Sudan, Sudan, Ethiopia, Egypt, and a few other countries there. I think Egypt is about 80 million people, or more than that, and Sudan. And the whole of East Africa, of which I think East Africa is how many millions? About 200? But all that belongs to God. All that belongs to God. And whose are you? If you are of God and your God owns everything, the Bible says even the cattle on thousands of hills, if you calculate the cattle on thousands of hills, the Bible says belongs to God. So I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to take out of our mind the spirit and the mind of lack and need and not having. So that you live, you and I will live a life whereby we are sure and confident that we have all things in God. And therefore, a life of lack and need and want and not having is not your life. Because the God you have is the God who owns everything. And if your God owns everything, you should walk like your God owns everything. You should live like your God owns everything. Because what would you prefer, money in the bank or gold and silver? What is more valuable? Paper, $10,000, $50,000, $100. What is more? The water flowing in the rivers belongs to all the tropical forests. The Atlantic Ocean belongs to God, the Indian Ocean belongs to God, the Antarctica belongs to God, the Arctica belongs to God, Europe belongs to God, South America belongs to God, the stars in the galaxy, up in the air, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything belongs to God. Everything above, on, and under, it belongs to God. And whose are you? So why do you walk in Kampala like you are the poorest person in the world? Why do you walk with a frown face? Why don't you have your full smile from ear to ear, celebrating your God that you make people wonder, what's wrong with you? And you let them know that my Father owns everything. If my Father owns even the cattle on thousands of hills, that means I can either eat or drink drink milk, eat beef, cheese, butter. Because my dad owns that. Even the most handsome man belongs to your God. Even the most beautiful girl belongs to your God. Every power and authority belongs to God. Therefore, you have all things. I lack nothing. You lack nothing. Stop going around declaring, I don't have, I do not know, I don't have. Your God has. Your God has. Even the 80 billion people on the face of the earth belong to God. And so from this day forward, we shall have thousands of people in our churches, in our locations, because they all belong to God. And if what you need is not where you are, then God is going to shake it up. He said, I'll shake the heaven, I'll shake the earth, I'll shake the sea, I'll shake the land, I'll shake everywhere. So you can even be praying and say, God, shake. Go on, shake the nations. If what you need is in a certain nation where you are not, he can shake it to you. He said, the desired of all nations will come. They will come. He'll shake it. Tell your neighbor, God is going to shake for me. Say, Father, shake. Tell him to shake. Tell him to shake. What do you want him to shake? He said, I will shake all nations. I will shake all nations. If what you need is dollars, where are the dollars? Wherever they are, let him shake. And as he's shaking as things are flowing your way. Oh, glory to God. We cannot live in lack. We cannot live in need. We cannot live in emptiness. We cannot live in a life whereby we can't live from hand to mouth. He said, I will shake and bring to you. And the glory of the latter house, the glory of your life, will be greater. Okay. You are the one leading praise and worship, but you have everything. Because your Father has everything. I want this mind to be in you that your Father has everything. Shout yes. Even you at home, even you watching from the locations. We are not there yet where we are going. Because as the Lord shakes things and they come our way, the life around us is changing. And therefore, the glory of the Lord upon our lives is going to be greater than the glory that you saw last year. Restoration shall be greater. The glory at restoration shall be greater. I said the glory shall be greater. That's why he says, take whatever you take. Don't worry to take. You just take because it belongs to your God. It's like a son in the house of his father. He picks an apple, he eats. He picks a piece of bread, he eats. He picks a cup, he wants coffee or tea. Whatever he wants, he can get it because it belongs to his father. My father owns everything. Your God owns everything. He owns. The Bible says, like a stream of water, so is the heart of the king in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. That means even the hearts of men, the hearts of people, God can turn them everywhere, anywhere. Everything belongs to God. Everything. That also informs you that don't waste your energy on people. Asking people, please help me, please help me. No, you're wasting time. People have limited resources. Right now, if I say, how many of you have ₦1,000,000 on you now, here? People are saying, In dollars, those are $300. In pounds, those are £200. Only. How many of you have £200 on you? Let me tell you, people. If Even me, sometimes I struggle. I struggle with the fact that there are so many things I want to do and to achieve, and sometimes I think I don't have everything I need. But then I have to be reminded. I think we need to be reminded that our God has everything. He owns it all. So our prayers should not be prayers of, "Oh God, where are you?" Our prayers should be like, "God, thank you because you own everything and I have access." Tell your neighbor, "You have access." Lift your hand and say, "Father, thank you because I have access." You have access. You can connect to what your God has. You can connect. If it's blessing, connect to the blessing. If it's life eternal, connect to life eternal. God has eternal life. God is not limited by time, space, place, position. That's why God is not facing this side or that side or that side or that side. He's facing everywhere. So there is no time that you are at God's in corner. Everywhere you are seen by God. God owns everything. In the book of John chapter 16, when you read verse 12 to 15, Jesus was talking to his disciples in verse 12. He says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear." When Jesus was walking around with his disciples, they saw the miracles and thought they had seen everything. He got in his hands two fish and said, "Father, I thank you." And that fish was enough to feed over 5,000 men. And then he picked up five loaves of bread and said, "Father, I give you glory." And that five loaves of bread was more than enough to feed 5,000 men. Because the Bible says they collected 12 baskets of leftovers from the bread and from the fish. And then the disciples thought, we have seen everything. We have seen him multiplying fish. Then the next day, he tells them, "Let's meet on the other side." And they go to, as they go on the boat, the wind and the waves started tossing the boat. And all of them with one voice shouted, "Oh, Master, alas, we are going to die." And he stood up in the middle of the boat and said, "Peace, be still." And there was calm and there was quietness. And then they said, "We have seen everything. The man can calm the storm. He talks to the wind and the wind obeys. What else can he not do? When we are hungry, he feeds us. When the wind rises, he calms it down." Then another time says, "Okay, you go, I'm coming." And they board the boat and they go to the other side. And in the morning, while they are coming back, they see a man walking on top of the water. And they said, "Oh my God, we have met with a ghost. This is a ghost." And they said, no, I'm not a ghost. I am the one." Now, can you imagine somebody walking on the water as though he's walking on dry land? He's not bothered. And then Peter said, "Okay, if you are the one, let me come." And Jesus said, "No problem. You come." And Peter takes one, two steps, and the wind has not stopped. The wind is still blowing. The waves are still moving and shaking and rolling. And Peter goes, before his head goes down, he makes one cry, "Mercy, Lord, mercy, mercy." And Jesus picked him up. Now, this is the interesting part. Peter is in the hands of Jesus, and they're walking back to the boat. Even Peter now is walking without shaking, and he's looking at his mind. I said, "Man, we have seen everything. What else is there to see?" The next day they go on top of the mountain, Peter, John, and James. And Jesus is praying and talking to God. And suddenly Moses and Elijah show up. And Jesus is shining like the sun. His eyes, his clothes. And he's having conversation with Moses. Here is a man who is having a conversation with people who lived 4,000 years before he came. And then the disciples said, "We have seen everything. What is there now to see?" And what happened? So Jesus is saying, I have so many. After they have seen almost everything, then he says, you guys, you haven't seen anything. I have so many other things I want to tell you and I want to show you. But now, if I show you everything, you cannot bear it. You know, there's another thing. There are certain things God is going to do in your life, but he cannot reveal all of them to you now. You cannot bear them. For us who grew in the village, we were raised in the village, when they would say you are going to the city, that whole night you can't sleep. It is still 10 p.m., but you think it is already in the morning. You keep waking up and knock to the Musade's door. Mami, what the table get there? Because to you, you cannot bear to wait for the whole day. It's like somebody gives you a call and says, I have something I want to tell you, but I'll tell you tomorrow night. Has anybody ever told you that? There are some people who say, I have your envelope, but I'm not around now, and it is Sunday. But let's meet on Sunday. So for the whole week, you're going to wait for that envelope. So Jesus is saying to the disciples, I have so many other things I can tell you, and I want to tell you, but I'm not going to tell you now. You wait. One day I was preaching in a certain country. So when I was preaching there, there were about 500 to 600 people, all white people. And after I preached, they said, I was going to another place. They said, no, you don't worry, you go. We are going to send you a love offering. And the other place I was going, I was flying there. So while I was flying, during the flight, I was wondering, how much is the love offering? When is the love offering coming to me? Now, I was calculating, because these were white people. If they were Africans, my hopes would be low. One day, I preached in a church where there were only African people. There were 1,500 African people in that church, and they gave me 1,000. There were 1,500 African people, and they gave me $1,500. So that means each African gave me $1. So I was not excited. But when it came to these people, they said, don't worry, you go to the next city. You go to the next state. We are going to send you a love offering. Somebody say amen. So during the flight, what was I thinking about? The love offering. On Monday, you know, in those countries, you have your post box at the gate, at the entrance of your house, on your street. So the postman drives there, he stops, he puts your envelope, he drives. People send checks in the mail. So on Monday, I saw the postman. He usually comes around midday. I was in the window because I knew around midday the postman comes by. So then he comes. He drove by. I went to the mail, opened advertisements, magazines. I waited for something with the name Frank Botai, nothing. for 2 weeks, every midday, I see the postman, I go there, open magazines, advertisements. Nothing is of mine. Bills for the house, nothing with Frank Botai. 2 weeks. Sometimes, if we are not away, if we went away, when I came back, the first thing I would check is the mailbox. Because they said, we are going to send you a love offering. So Jesus is telling the disciples, I have much more to tell you. You cannot bear it. I'll send someone to tell you. You wait for it. One of the most difficult things in life is waiting. How many of you have ever waited for someone? Especially whereby the waiting place, you can only face this way. You can't face that way, that way. So you are waiting here, but you don't know where this person is coming from. So all the time you go that way, you go that way. In 5 minutes, your neck has a lot of pain. So Jesus is telling the disciples, I have so many things I want to tell you, but you cannot bear them. Verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. Oh my God. He says he will tell you everything. The Holy Spirit will hear. The Holy Spirit is like, he hears the conversations between God and the Son, the Father and the Son, and he's part of the conversation. And then he comes and says, hey, something is going to happen. Your tomorrow is better than your today. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come. He will tell you what he hears. And he will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears. So the Holy Spirit is in the council of the Godhead and is hearing something, the conversation about your name, about who you are, what you're going to be, everything he's hearing about it, and then he comes and shares with you. Amen. And so he shared with the psalmist and said, everything belongs to God. He's sharing with us that the silver and the gold belong to God. In verse 14, what did he say? He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. The Holy Spirit, his job is to take of what is of the Lord and make it known to you. That's the Holy Spirit's job. The Bible says in Romans 8:26, we even don't know how to pray, but the Spirit. Why is the Spirit important? Because he knows what is in the heart of God. And what is in the heart of God? Jeremiah 29:11, for I have good thoughts. I have good plans. I have good programs. I have great opportunities. There are great doors that are about to open. I don't know whether you understand, but the Spirit has heard from the Father and is telling you about it. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is taking of the Father and is sharing with you. Good plans. Good plans. Good plans are what God has for me. And for you. And for his church. And for his children. And for your children's children. Good plans. God's plans for you are for generations to come. Somebody shout a hallelujah. All that belongs to the Father is mine. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is Jesus speaking. Now, let me ask you a very simple question. Where is that Jesus? Where is that Jesus? So, if that Jesus is in you, and everything that belongs to the Father is His. So now, all that the Father has belongs to the Son. And that Son is in you. And He owns everything. So where is everything? Where is everything? All things that the Father has are mine. And that is why I say to this, that the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Everything belongs to God. And everything belongs to the Son, Jesus Christ. And the Son is within us. So everything that the Father has is whose? Now, if you use the word all, what is not included in all? Everything is His. Everything is yours. Everything belongs to the Father. Everything is mine. Everything is mine. Somebody say, everything is mine. That's why Romans says in chapter 8 and verse 32, he says, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He who did not spare His Son, but gave Him up for us. Jesus was given up for us. Amen. Huh? He gave him up for all of us. And this is the interesting part, for all of us. So that means no one is left behind. No one is left out. We can hardly move or reduce on what He has. Kubanga atene bibira munsa oyo bya atera bisigara bibye. Ebyo byange nabiri byange ebiri munsa oyo byange. Nawe bibyo. Because everything is mine. I have all things in Christ Jesus. God has given me all things. So today, I receive the Spirit. I receive the power. If I need people, I receive the people. If I need money, I have that money. If I need any resource, I have that resource because God owns all of that. And because He owns everything, everything is mine. And here is the niche. Because all other things are things. But God went a step further. And He gave His Son. Akuwadde ki? Ate akamotoka. Ate obuweereza. Everything else now is reduced to being very small. Right? Everything is reduced to being what? Small. Insignificant. If somebody has given you His Son, and gave him up as a sacrifice. Amen. So I receive the open doors because they are mine. I receive the land that I need. I receive the victory. I receive everything because it is mine. I receive the power because the power is what? It's mine. I receive the wisdom because the wisdom is mine. I receive understanding. There is no way, there is no way for me. Huh? There is no way, there is no way for me. There is a way all the time. Everything belongs to God. Let me give you a couple of scriptures and then I'll be done. And I'll wind up by bringing a request to you. In Psalms 91 verse 16, he says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Because God has life. I was reading the other day, in the first few chapters of Genesis, everybody lived 500 years, 800 years, 900 years, 600 years. And I started saying, God, but somebody along the way spoiled it for us. The generation of Noah, those people there. And then God said, bakome ku 12. Nali ntandisa okusanga nasoga mukama mberewo myaka 9. How do you would you feel if you stayed at 900 years? Because already some of you are 33 and you walk like you are 95. And you're just 33. How old are you? 33. I thought you were 95. No, I'm 33. But you know, God is very interesting. He came to Abraham when he was 100 years. And he gave him strength to be a father. And he came to Sarah when she was 90 years and gave her the strength to be a mother. Because all things are his. In old age, these two people were bearing fruit. So don't even think about time. One day I had a visitation from heaven. And the people that visited me from heaven, they were talking to me certain things that I cannot tell you now. But one of the things they said to me was too big. It was beyond my imaginations. And then I said, but look at how old I am. And by then I was not even 50 years. But I thought I was old. And then they said, because these were elders. They were elders. So they said, look at us. What we are telling you has nothing to do with age. They said, look at us. Look at how old we are. So it's not even how old you are. It is God. He owns everything. He can talk to you now. And you say, but am I not old for that? Like right now, at my age, I'm planning to planting churches, thousands of churches. I'd be saying, I can't go to take a retirement. But I feel like preaching every day. I'm still looking at preaching when people fill a square mile. I still see leading millions of people to Christ. Hallelujah. Otherwise, according to Ugandan standard, I should be planning my retirement what? So I shall never lack anything because the earth and its fullness belong to my Father. Therefore, all things are mine. All things are? So when you go to town to open your shop to make money, all the money in Uganda is yours. Go salawozo danazo. Boda no mutwaru go wawasaze woku danago. E abantu mukamparo mubanyuka nobu kadebisatu bina. Wode abantu abanyuka nobu umbibuli ruaguru. Kadugo banyuka na akasamvu. Okumanya kono kutegera kowe kukoma. Kwa akasamvu. You have a 7,000 mindset. No, God said the silver is mine and the gold is mine. He didn't say the silver in a small corner. He said the silver and the gold are mine worldwide, everywhere. All the money in every reserve bank of the world belongs to God. Lift your hand and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All things are whose? Jesus said the Father, everything the Father has is mine. And because Jesus is mine, all the things that Jesus has are mine. Everything is mine. Somebody say, everything is mine. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Somebody here needed to hear and understand this, that everything belongs to God. So you don't need to struggle anymore. No more struggle in your life. You needed to hear and understand this, that everything belongs to God. Health belongs to God. Power belongs to God. Life belongs to God. Love belongs to God. Success belongs to God. Victory belongs to God. Wealth belongs to God. The nations of the world belong to God. There is no country that is closed out for you because they all belong to the Father. He said, ask of me and I'll give you the nations as a birthday gift. But as it is written, eye has not seen. Eye has not what? Amaso begatana laba. Amaso, your eyes has not seen. No ear heard. You haven't heard. Even with all my preaching, you haven't heard. You haven't seen. You think you have seen? You haven't seen. You think you have heard? You know, there are some people who are successful. I told you of a story of a certain lady, a family. The woman uses a supermarket cart in her own house to collect entula, nyanya, butunguru. It's like somebody buying in our own house. She's like in a supermarket, but in our own house. She has a whole area full of everything. So when she's in the house, I think the dining is like this church. The dining. The dining alone. Everything is big in that house. Can you imagine yourself in your own house? You have a supermarket cart, milk, sugar, tomatoes, and you go to the kitchen. Rice, what? Flour. I looked at it and said, my God. You know, you see people having things and you say, what am I talking about? Do I call my house a house? When you see that other house, everything you are in is some whatever, storage or garage. But they are here in Uganda. Ugandans as dark as me. Here, when they want to eat a chibumba, it is a whole cow slaughtered. The rest of the meat can be given to the dogs. We only wanted the river. You have not seen. And these things I'm prophesying, some of you are the things you are going to live in. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Neither have entered into the heart of man. My word of the Lord, no gamba necho na linjiro was a zako. What will be to narrow zako? It has not entered your heart, the thing that God is going to do. The things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Prepared. Pre. The word pre means before. Before you were born, they were prepared. Before you got born again, they were prepared. Before you came on earth, these things you have not seen and heard, nor entered your heart, were pre. God has prepared the things you have never seen, never heard, never entered your heart. They are prepared. And I think we should be praying, Father, help me to walk in those things that were pre. Things were prepared by God. It is actually God who folded his sleeves. And went to work. And prepared for me. Oh, there is something I've not enjoyed yet. There is something I've not seen. There is something I've not heard. There is something I've not thought about. But it is prepared. So how do you walk? How do you live life? You live with expectation. You live in faith. You live in confident assurance. Somebody was talking about assurance. You live in confident assurance that your God has prepared. And we know what He has prepared. What He has prepared, our eyes have never seen. Our ears have never heard. It has never entered in our heart. He has prepared good plans, good things, good life. Because He's a father. I don't know of any father who sits down and prepares to kill his son. Can you imagine a father preparing to injure his child? How many of you being evil do that? You prepare. You sit down and make a plan how you are going to injure, how you are going to afflict pain to your own child. I'm pretty sure every parent, he may not fulfill his preparations and his plans, but every parent has in their heart and in their mind things that are good for their children. They might be disappointed by the children, but they are prepared well. Some of you are prepared even for children who are yet to be born. Okay. We nazaru mwana wange. Nja mutwalanga mu saluni buli week. Eyo traka shooting nja jimogulira. Abamu mwabigula no bigula ne mbitereka. Tanazalibwa. But you are preparing. Niyo nzo mutegekera obuchiriti obw'okumusala. N'omuterekera okumusuza enjala. Kankizaale kisale ekisula enjala. Nchibonye. Is that your plan? Even a parent who has nothing, they wish they have something that they can prepare for their children. And that is usually something good. Now God has prepared good things. Things you have never seen before. I said things you have never seen before. Things you've never heard in your heart. Things you've never heard in your ears. Are the things your Father, your God, your Almighty God has prepared for you. All you have to do is to love Him. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? For those who have people who love us, when we are not at home, they prepare omurokoni for you. They say, wanada. Achisange nga chocha. Eh? Those who don't have those who love them, I'm praying for you that God will give you somebody who loves you. But for us who already have, let us reduce it to normal love, not even between the love as husband and wife, you know, but normal love. If you love someone, just that love of God, do you sometimes prepare something? I know some people who love me because I'm their pastor, and they prepare $1 million and they send it on my phone just because they love me, not because I've told them, you have to give them $1 million in the name of Jesus. No, they love me. Some people love me. There's a lady, she doesn't come to church often. She never goes to her village and does not come back with something. Sometimes she brings a chiwagu chamenvu. And they say, hey, sister so-and-so brought you this. Sometimes she brings muzigo. Sometimes she brings cassava. Sometimes she brings something. She always brings something. She's not one of those people who come to church every week. I'm not saying you should stop coming to church every week. I'm saying that's her type. But she never goes to her home village and come back without bringing us something. And my wife knows. Actually, she loves my wife more than me. So for me, I eat on kameme. But of course, if you love my wife, you love me as well, right? It's like some people say, for me, I love Mama Musumba. I don't want. Now, how can you do that? The Bible says the two shall become one. So if you hate me, you hate her. If you hate her, you have automatically put yourself in line of fire. I'll blow your head off in Jesus' name. That's why for me I have a small policy. You can't talk about my wife in Lugambo and I allow you to talk. That has never happened. Because you're trying to create a division between me and her. When I wake up at night and I'm sujaguba gunuma, are you there? Will you be there? So now you want to bring confusion there. And when I have issues, you are not there. I wake up at night and marusu gantu zenja gagara kunzita. Gwari, ngakwate chifuba yeno neno, gagamba kakana. Oworu gambo takorachi. Yabada kugamba, oya mukazi go. Tali yo, kabze kato fe. Ndeka. Somebody say amen. And I wonder people who allow people to talk about their husbands or their wives. Yet this person, either your husband or your wife, he's the one who is there when things are happening or not happening. Either things are happening, he's there. Or they are not happening, that person is there. Now you allow people to bring confusion among you two who are not there. You are joking. When issues arise, they are there. So if you are married, you have a wife, you have a husband, don't allow people to confuse the two of you. Because those people are not there when you have issues or issues are happening or they are not happening. If we have issues, let's fight among ourselves. And in fighting, I don't mean fist fighting, but let's have our argument. Or we have our misunderstanding. We will understand each other later, after a few minutes. Biotola bangakoba biteke kedani. Ainachi. Ye katonda ategese byotola bangako byota ulirangako ebitengeranga mu mutimago nego okole kintu echi kumukola chi aga mwana wanga njagala. That child of mine loves me. Somebody shout hallelujah. Anyway, God bless you. So God owns what?
Everything.
Everything. He owns everything. And what he owns, he has prepared for. Can you lift up your hands and thank him? Just thank him. Thank him. Tell him, Father, thank you for everything. Thank you for everything. Thank you for everything. Thank you so much for everything. Thank you.